How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for our new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 3rd of October. We've got an actual basketball game to some extent to talk about. We'll break down what we saw in game number one of the preseason, and we'll look around the NBA. Plus, you'll get to know Royce O'Neal, a man battling for a roster spot. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thanks so much for tuning into the program. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on your favorite team, the Utah Jazz. You can get it on iTunes, any of your Android devices, Alexa or Google Home, whatever it is you want to listen to. We have a new podcast as well, and it's the NBA. It's our NBA kind of Utah Jazz radio podcast. And it has the Quinn Snyder Coaches Show each night. It has an extended version of the whole play-by-play, and then should also have a shortened version Jazz Game Rewind each night. Jazz Game Rewind didn't seem to go up last night. But so that's available for you. I'll tweet out and probably put up a place for you so that you can get it. But it's Utah Jazz. I have it on Pocket Cast, which I've now converted to and use. Utah Jazz Radio is the name of the show, of the podcast. So Utah Jazz Radio, and you can, if you go to, you can get the RSS feed through Lipson, or I'll send it out. That'll be easier for you. So, and you should be getting, it should be on everything here pretty soon. So, if that's good for you. All right, so let's get to the breakdown. Today's show, by the way, is brought to you by my friends at Murdoch Hyundai. Blake and the crew at 4646 South State Street. It's so funny. I've got like this pride about Hyundai now. Like my dad's in town and he drives the new Prius and I drive the Ioniq. And I'm saying to my dad, like, hey, what did you think of this? What was your feeling on this? How did you, do you think he was kind of looking at me like, dude, like, what's up? Like, it was pretty funny. He liked it, though. And it was cool. Like, it was cool to see him, like, drive, you know, switch to this car and say, yeah, that's actually pretty awesome. So, anyway, all right, let's get to the game. I thought, you know, the focus of what Quinn's trying to do with his team is after makes, they're going to be a very similar team. After misses, they really want to push. And they really want to get out and have early action and not be waiting for a pick and get going into their it really break the paint. And I thought we saw them do it early on and do it fairly well. And then I thought it fizzled as the night went on, which is interesting because it's really, really hard to run. And it's exhausting. And it's why a lot of teams don't do it. And this is going to be the thing to watch with this new thing is how often do they run? Quinn talks a lot about winning the first three steps. You've got to win the first three steps. So I thought they generally did win the first three steps early, and then they didn't do it as much as the game went on, which slowed them down. And the second unit particularly didn't do it, which should be the unit that's faster. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then what's interesting to me is the whole concept of the after the miss is to get down the floor, run the floor, break the seams of the defense, get into the break the paint, get in there, and then play off of that. But too often they didn't break the paint. And when they don't break the paint, now it's not entirely clear to me what they're getting into. And then that'll probably get them back into their flow or some of their actions and slow it down. The weakness that jumped out to me is how many guys do we really have on the roster who, when they get to that moment, can they just beat their guy? And that's where breaking the seams and getting into the paint's going to work if you can beat your guys. And I wasn't entirely convinced that I saw our guys able to beat their guys all the time. Rodney's not a big-time one-on-one player. I think Rubio's a big-time one-on-one player. So Ingles is certainly not a big-time one-on-one player. Joe Johnson's a methodical one-on-one player. So that's going to be something to worth watching, is that it's one thing if they can get out ahead, but then if they for some reason don't win those first three steps and they don't get out ahead and they suddenly are matched up quickly one-on-one, can they beat their guy to get into the seams to actually create the action that Quinn wants? And I think that's going to be something that we'll have to keep an eye on. Gobert was dominant, as you'd expect, right? Second team All-NBA against the Sydney Kings. He was totally dominant. The Jazz were looking to him at the rim on every play. And what's interesting to me on that is whether or not that's going to be able to, whether that's going to be able to be something they can do against NBA teams. Fortunately, we don't play a very good NBA team until we start down our first four games of the year are against this kind of newfangled Western Conference middle section, Denver, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and the Clippers, like right out of the chute. So it'll be interesting to see what we can do in those opening four games, because I'm not sure that the Suns back-to-back and the Lakers on a single game on a end of a back-to-back for us are going to show that to us during the season or during the preseason. But we open with Denver, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, and the Clippers. Like, that's the four teams everybody projects ahead of us in the Western Conference. Two at home, two on the road. Should be interesting. All right, I thought Exum was good in the second half. In the first half, I'm not sure. I thought he might have been a little passive and responsible for how the game did not go the way the Jazz wanted it to. But that might not be fair to single somebody out. That second unit just wasn't very good. The Jazz hassled. The goal was to make the Sydney Kings uncomfortable and have them have no comfort zone at all. And they did that in the first quarter. And then as they went to the bench unit, Sydney got comfortable, was able to run their sets. They're pretty well coached. So then they got some looks and they made some looks. And then next thing you know, the game was closer. And the whole focus of shoot around was to not allow Sydney to get comfortable. The second unit didn't execute that very well. Exum, though, in the second half, I thought looked really good. I thought he came out and broke. He's a guy who can beat somebody. And got into the defense and did things. I thought Mitchell for his first game looked good. I walked out with Donovan last night. I asked him if he was nervous. He said, surprisingly, he wasn't. So there's some, I think there's some good things there. I thought Donovan continues to, his shot selection and his pacing and against NBA, he's going to get himself in trouble and he's going to turn the ball over. But his decision-making is generally pretty good. I was pretty impressed by his, when he makes the right pass. His shot selection at Louisville was almost, I don't know, crazy's too big a word, but I mean, it was unencumbered. And so it's going to be interesting to see him evolve on that. But I've been pleased in that regard. I think he's doing a nice job there. And I thought Alec Burks' fourth quarter was just terrific. He made passes before the game happened. He found open guys. It was against their second unit. I mean, again, let's realize they're playing the Sydney Kings, where there's not a guy on that roster that can play in the NBA. So Perry Ellis would like to hope he can, but. So in that sense, you have to be a little careful of how much you evaluate this and what you really think it's going to be able to, who the Jazz are from it. That might be a little bit of a stretch to decide too much on a single game. Today's the rotation was interesting. We'll get to that in a second. I thought that might have been the biggest takeaway of the night. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. As I think I have told you a few times, I've gotten to know the Murdoch family. It's been fun. 90 plus years they've been in the car business, just passed from generation to generation. And that's what they pride themselves on, is making sure that your experience really, truly is a family experience, that you feel as though you were treated by the Murdochs. And when I've sat with them and talked about it, you can tell that there's great pride in that. That they're going to make sure that everything they control for you and every little thing they can do. So can they extend their service hours and make it easier for you to get there? Can they give you free oil changes for life? Can they give you free car washes? What are the things that they can do to make sure that, as they say, there are no regrets that you use the Murdoch family? Then the Hyundai cars, I've been driving the Santa Fe, I've driven the Tucson, and now I'm driving their hybrid, the Ioniq. If you're in the market for a hybrid, this is really, it's beautiful. The Santa Fe moved the meter for me. What you can get for the value absolutely moved the meter for me. And interesting, I've now gotten three emails from people who are Jazz fans who've saying this, you know, Locked On Jazz listeners who are saying the same thing to me. That, you know, wow, I went to Murdoch, had an amazing experience. You know, Barbara, I think, emailed us last time about her experience there. Barbara sent, Barbara emailed me and said, thank you for the advice on Murdoch Hyundai and the Santa Fe. We just purchased a Santa Fe Limited Ultimate with the tech package. Great car. And as you said, a great value. Our experience in the Murray store was great. We personally met Blake. We're very impressed. They treated us very fairly with no pressure. That's what we like to hear. That's what I like to hear. And we appreciate you supporting our sponsors. Thank you, Barbara. If you have an experience with one of our sponsors, please email me at dlock09@gmail.com. Both, good or bad. If it's not good, let us know. We'll take care of it and make sure it gets there. All right. The rotation I thought was interesting last night. So the Jazz open with Gobert and Favors. And then as expected, the first big in was Joe Johnson. The next big in is Favors back in for Gobert as the backup center. And then Jarebko got some time. Jarebko plays really, really hard and is not usually a long stint player. So he's a guy that may often play short stints because he plays so hard. What's going to be key to this season is how do the Jazz defend in these small lineups. Now, when Rudy Gobert and Joe Johnson were on the floor together last year for 675 minutes, which is a lot, the Jazz defense was a 102.6, so it was a little bit above average. The league average is generally 103.5 or something like that. 103.7 was, so that's better. Favors and Joe Johnson last year were on the floor together for 111 minutes, and the defensive rating was 124. So it's really not good. And post-All-Star break, it wasn't great. The big lineup was obviously great defensively last year. Post-All-Star break last year, the Joe Johnson-Rudy Gobert lineup, post-All-Star break, defensive rating was a 105, which is not above average. So this is, to me, going to be the issue for the season, is finding ways to score while still being elite defensively. And what I mean by that is when we're big with Favors and Gobert, I think we are elite defensively. You know, the number last year was 96.5. When we go to Joe Johnson or Jonas Jerebko with either Gobert or Favors, we're spreading the floor. It's much more open. It's a lot easier to score. But I'm not sure we're still elite defensively. And the question is, can we still be great offensively? So when Joe Johnson and Rudy Gobert were on the floor together last year, our offense was brilliant at 114. League average, as I said, is like 103.7. So we were dominant. And the offense with Joe Johnson and Derek Favors was pretty good at 109. The problem is, is the defense going to still be above average? That's a key thing to watch during the season, is whether or not the Jazz can maintain that defensive elite performance in those circumstances. And I don't know the answer. That's honestly, it's a concern for me, is that the quest to score will eliminate the prowess defensively. That's my thoughts. All right, we'll run around the NBA with some thoughts. We debuted our brand new social networking approach, which includes the YouTube video live an hour before the game that immediately goes up to LockedOnJazz.net for you. My thought on that is easy embeddable, gives you another chance to see it. You don't have to see it live on Periscope. Give me your thoughts. During the game, Ron and I gave you quarterly updates on Instagram Live on what was going on during the game. Post-game with Facebook Live. It was great. Got good questions, and that's at Locked On Sports for Facebook Live. So let me know if those worked for you, if you have any thoughts on what would make it better for you. We'll mic up Facebook Live better than we did last night. We've debuted the new Samson mic system for our pregame show. I hope you like that. So please let me know what works for you best. Give us a like on Locked On Sports. Give us a like on YouTube at David Locke, or follow it, subscribe so that you get notified of what's going on there. And tell me if that's kind of the new social networking plan actually worked for you. If not, let me know what we could do better. Quick notes around the NBA. The Kings last night started all veterans. So they started George Hill, Garrett Temple, Vince Carter, Zach Randolph, and Kosta Koufos. Despite having all these young kids, we'll see if they stay with that. Cleveland's decided they're going to start Kevin Love at center. Two rookies that have been just terrific early going are Frank Mason in Sacramento, who out of Kansas, and Kyle Kuzma for the Lakers out of Utah. Both have been just great. Celtics started Aaron Baines at center to go with Al Horford playing the four, which is a little surprising. Celtics really don't have any bigs. I mean, they don't have any bigs. It's going to be curious to see what they do about bigs and what lineups they put on the floor and who plays what positions and what they are as a rebounding team. Because, well, I mean, they didn't have many bigs last year and they may not need them. But if you look last night, Horford and Baines start. I don't have their substitution patterns. And then I don't know who their Marcus Morris didn't play. So he's, I guess, a big. And then Ubicelli's bit is like wide, but I don't know if he's big. And I'm not sure he's really a big. So I'm curious to see what they do and how they get through the game and what minutes they're and how they're playing him. On the other end, we just talked about the Jazz going from Favors and Gobert to Joe Johnson and Jonas Derebko, and maybe they're, you know, maybe even we're not playing very many bigs. Maybe bigs don't truly matter anymore. DeJounte Murray started at point guard in San Antonio. We'll see how that works out. And in Denver, it looks like it's Trey Lyles or Kenneth Faried who are battling for those minutes at the power forward off the bench right now. Okay, those are some notes around the NBA. That gives you a little breakdown of what we did today. And now let's get to know Royce O'Neal, who played in the fourth quarter, battling for a roster spot. He and Ballenboy are in a pretty fierce battle for the final roster spot on this team. Royce O'Neal played in Europe the last 2 years, has a pretty nice game to him, does a lot of things really well. If he shoots it better, he's a rotation player in the NBA. Interestingly, is wearing Wesley Matthews' number, which kind of jumps out to me a little bit. So here is Get to Know Royce O'Neal. Let's get to know Royce O'Neal a little bit. If you took me to your hometown, yeah, where would you take me? What would you show me?
I live in a hometown that's small, Killeen, Texas, you know. First place I'll take you, probably my high school, so you can see the records that I set on the wall. And then it's not that much to do, not a big city, so I'll take you to the little mall we got. But other than that, I mean, a couple spots to eat, that's it.
If you have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have an older sister and a younger sister.
And what was that like? Was the older sister beat up on you when you were little? Was you beat up on her when you got bigger?
Yeah, when I was little, she used to beat me in all the video games. I used to get mad, like throw the controller. And then once I started getting older and better, you know, I started beating her and she didn't want to play me no more. So.
And when there's three kids, it's always two on one. So who are the two that tag teamed against the one?
They always gang up on me, so.
Well, if you took me to your childhood room, what did it look like and what on the walls, and what was your room like?
I was a big Lion King and Space Jam guy, so I had a little hoop, you know, the Space Jam, and then a little like Simba and Lion King posters on the wall and stuff, so like stuff like that.
When you were a kid playing, where was the first court you ever played on?
Ooh, first court, let's see.
First hoop?
Yeah, I'd probably say a little Fisher Price hoop when I was like two. you know, mom's got it for me. Used to dunk everything because I was like so aggressive.
And who was the player you always pretended to be when you were a kid playing?
Michael Jordan, then you know, little Allen Iverson, you know, wore the sleeves, little finger straps, and everything. So,
what's the worst chore you ever had as a kid?
Just cleaning up my room. That was it.
I still don't do that well. What's your first nickname you ever had?
Probably Royce Pooh. That was what my nieces and my mom called me.
Should I drop that in a play-by-play this year? Probably not. Okay. And why do you wear 23?
I mean, you know, 15 was taken. That's the first. That's the number I wore when I first like graduated and played overseas professionally. And then 00 was my number growing up, and then I wore 23 a couple of times, like in middle school. Then like all just the number, like all the players that wore 23. You know,
a lot of downtime in the basketball world. What do you? What's your favorite thing to do in your downtime?
I like to sleep. No, I'm kind of like a game head. So I play video games a lot. And then pretty much anything that's fun, like movies, go bowling, stuff like that. So,
what games are you good at?
I'm good at FIFA. You know, that's my number one game. 2K. Play a little Call of Duty, but not that good. I play for fun. It ain't Madden sometimes. So,
what is the most memorable moment of your career?
Most memorable? Probably say tying the scoring record in high school. 39 points. No, that was a big moment for me, you know. So,
you have one shot that, like, if I said Royce O'Neal, one shot, does something come to your mind? Does one shot come to your mind?
Either a three or a half court shot. College, I shot half court shots all the time, like during practice and stuff. So,
all right, let's get a little deeper here. So, what has given you the belief to think you could make it?
I mean, just my family supporting me, you know, setting a goal and dream from, like, when I was started playing basketball. Just wanted to play in the NBA, you know, just staying with it. You know, everybody has a different route to take, just believing that I can make it. So,
and do you have any idea what – not every kid believes it, right?
Yeah.
So why do you believe it? What gave you hope?
I mean, I just have faith in God and my family supporting me, best friends supporting me, and just seeing guys play on TV. And then just playing against them, like, during the summers, like, open gym, you know, I feel like I belong.
When you think about your journey, you kind of think, like, what are things that you did differently? Where were you different than other kids? Or where were, you know, maybe things that separated you from everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, like, I was kind of taller than a lot of kids. So then, you know, I focused on everything, like dribbling, shooting, you know. As I got taller, you know, I felt like dribbling was going to be very important, like, playing different positions. So, I mean, that was a big thing for me. And then, I mean, just working on my game each and every day. You know, like some guys in high school go to parties. You know, I was wanting to go to the gym or something. Like, I always go to the gym each morning, you know, play against older guys, like grown men, stuff like that. So that helped out a lot.
There's a book called Grit that's kind of about elite performance. And it talks about that really what grit is to resist complacency. So what is it that allowed you to continue to try to improve? And when you kind of think back, is there a time when you can look back and say, oh, that's the first time I showed that, kind of that grit?
Probably say high school, you know, like making varsity, you know, as like a sophomore. So I knew I had to do what it takes, you know, being younger, and I wanted to play. So I knew I had to be greedy for it, you know, so that, like, just motivation, things like that, you know. Wanting to be the starter, want to be a star player on the team. So doing whatever I had to do for me to become that.
When have you had the greatest doubt of whether you would make it or not?
I mean, you know, not getting drafted, you know, sucked. But, you know, everybody, like, just reading about other people's stories, you know, them playing overseas or them starting in the D League or them going to NBA, then going overseas and coming back. So, you know, this is all about the right timing and position.
So some of it's perseverance.
Yeah.
When you think of perseverance, is there a story you think of, a person, or is there something in your life that kind of exemplifies perseverance?
I just probably say the obstacles that I overcame personally, you know, like having a major injury in high school, didn't play AAU like all junior year, have another one freshman year of college, just bouncing back from things like that.
There's a quote that says, to do anything really well, you have to overextend yourself. What would be your example of that?
Just spending countless hours in the gym, you know, always wanting to go to the gym, whether I'm playing, shooting, working out, lifting, running, doing something that involves basketball.
Small skills, deliberate practice is something they talk about in the book Talent Code. What, when you think about the kind of minute details, not just, oh, I shot the jumper, but what are the minute details? There's a great quote that says that superlative performance is bringing together a collection of small skills into one habit. So what are those small skills that you work on to become better at?
Pretty much everything, really. You know, even stuff I'm good at, I still want to get better at it. You know, watching videos of guys that played in the league, playing now, just taking things from them, just learning from other guys. So.
And what makes you come back out every day?
Just the drive and the love for the game, really.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Right.
Royce O'Neal, he played 4 years at Baylor, has been in Europe the last 2 years, has a really good chance to make this team. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out over the next little period of time. So hope you enjoyed getting to know number 23 for the Utah Jazz, Royce O'Neal. I'll throw a little poll up on Twitter for you at Lockdown Sports on tomorrow. Rodney, Rudy maybe, for your get to know. Thanks to Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street, for their sponsorship of today's program. Check it out. The Santa Fe, just remarkable. Incredible value you can get for your car at Hyundai. Just kind of mind-blowing the quality and what you get for the price over at Murdoch Hyundai. 4646 South State Street, also in Logan and in Linden. This has been Locked On Jazz. Thanks very much for tuning in. I'll talk to you tomorrow.